Content for the following program was provided by the Teton County Library.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
From the back of the stacks.
Today on Back of the Stacks, I'm here with Pauline from the Teton County Library Foundation. And we are going to discuss the foundation's gift-giving guide or list of books that they put together every year. So welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here, Jerry. Thanks for the invitation.
So this is a pretty cool list, a great list of books. Tell me, how is this list curated?
Well, we started out this idea, which certainly didn't, you know, spring forth from our heads. There are plenty of organizations and literary founts of these kinds of things at the holiday gift-giving time, where New York Times and NPR and a variety of media outlets will come up with, here's the best of the best for gift-giving. A library staff member reached out and, you know, offered to take on the role of herding the recommendations, reached out to staff to say, hey, anything great that you're seeing in your reviews that you're reading as part of your collection's development. And for listeners who don't know, that is a significant part of many people's jobs at the library is, you know, staying on trend and reading reviews of books and anticipating books coming out. And so it's this great confluence of all of those things happening at the right time. So a staff member will reach out, take on the job of, you know, soliciting the best reads that would make great gifts, and then compile this list from that information, staff recommendations, as well as, as I mentioned, fall publishing reports that are coming out, trending books, other recommendations from book critics and book reviewers. And so it all gets teed up that way.
So let's take a look at the list.
Okay.
You know, let's pick out some of your favorites there. What do you want to start with?
I think under Lovers of Literature, I do love the titles for how this is broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Atkinson, I know, is a beloved writer for many. And she's someone that the librarians tell me you can recommend to almost anyone, that her writing cuts across all sorts of demographic types. She's incredibly readable and also has, you know, clever plots that hook people easily. Transcription, which is the one selected here, is about espionage in World War II London, we think will appeal to a lot of folks. I know there's one you want to talk about, so I'm going to skip that one and jump on over to The Overstory by Richard Powers, which, in addition to having a gorgeous cover, is highly recommended by a staff member at the library and characterized as being like a 500-page poem. It's a multi-generation story about humans and trees and has hit many, many best of 2018 lists. So those are the two out of the several there that we wanted to recommend most enthusiastically. And I know you had one to talk about.
Yeah, the one I really like is Leifanger, Virgil Wander, his latest novel. He wrote Peace Like a River, which I really enjoyed many years ago. He's a writer from Minnesota, and this one is set on the North Shore, just north of Duluth in a fictional town.
Cool.
I'm a little over halfway through it so far, and it's great. It's really just... it brings me back to Peace Like a River and his style of writing. I really enjoy it.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a little Bob Dylan in there.
It'll appeal to those folks then. And
yeah. Okay, so what else have we got that we want to point out?
So under the outdoorsy type, for the outdoorsy type title, there are a lot of great adventures here, which, you know, so popular in Jackson, many of which came out this fall. And so it's mostly a matter of picking what's your favorite flavor of adventure. Limits of the Known, the first one in this list, is a mountaineering book, part personal experience, part literary review, also touches on the age-old question of why we explore an adventure, why we as human beings do it. So highly recommended. Going from the mountains to the waters, Swell is about author Liz Clark's decade-long surf trip on a sailboat. Your water babies might be interested in that book. And then just keeping in line there, To Shake the Sleeping Self is about a bicycle trip from Oregon to Patagonia. So three in a row there.
Yeah, that last one sounds like my kind of adventure.
It does. But I should recommend, too, here, the second to last, Bird Note, which has a local connection. The illustrator Emily Poole was born and raised in Jackson, left to go to RISD, and is an illustrator. And I'm told, I haven't got my hands on the book yet, but that the illustrations are just gorgeous. So a big plug for a local gal illustrator. Yeah.
Okay. And now for the indoorsy type.
The indoorsy type. Yes. Hopefully we have some of those who are equally as indoorsy as outdoorsy. I can't help but comment on Saladish, the first, because the cover is so gorgeous.
It is.
I am a fan of salads, even in the cold months. I found for the longest time I was not eating as many of them the colder it got. And then I finally decided, wait, I can just make myself a great cup of tea and be just fine with a salad, even though it's a little on the cold side. So that book cover is just glorious.
It is beautiful.
Those radishes. So in that category, there are some familiar faces to TV movie personalities on covers. I think a lot of people are familiar with Joanna Gaines from all the different home shows she has with her husband and the great design shows and business she has on her own. Her book is called Homebody. And then, of course, Reese Witherspoon down there at the end is folks probably are aware of her celebrity, and many people enjoy her personality. On the less celebrity side of things, The Writer's Map comes highly recommended as a great atlas of sorts that takes us through maps that writers have drawn or that have been made by others to illustrate the places that they've created in their books. So one librarian in particular heartily recommends this. And I think it's a brilliant idea. I can't believe nobody's ever done it before. Maybe someone has, but beautiful cover and I think a fun idea.
Okay. And then for those who love a good true story.
A good true story. Well, I can't recommend highly enough a book I'm partially through. I should be further through than I am, considering I'm leading our book club's book discussion on it next week. None other than Susan Orlean, who will be here this summer as the library's Page to the Podium speaker. Susan, folks may remember as a journalist who's written for years for The New Yorker and who wrote The Orchid Thief, which was then turned into a movie. She also wrote Rin Tin Tin.
Yeah.
A variety of books. The library book is about the fire at the L.A. County Public Library, the main branch library in the 80s. And as Susan always does, it goes beyond the story of that fire. She's a brilliant writer of creative nonfiction. And we get the facts of all of that, but also the humanity of the person most suspect in that fire for having said it. And also just about how people have used libraries over time and how the people of L.A. in particular have relied on this library. So she's unabashed about it being a love story to libraries and librarians, which warms my heart. I'm also looking forward to reading Bill Cunningham's Fashion Climbing, which if you at all have been a reader of The New York Times, you know Bill's photos gracing that publication over many years. And he's just such an interesting, quirky character. In fact, we have a DVD of a PBS special about Bill at the library, which is fabulous. I highly recommend people checking that out as an accompaniment to this. The Last Cowboys might be one that would intrigue people. It's the subtitle is A Pioneer Family in the New West. This is by John Branch, and it's about a large ranching and rodeo family in Utah that could have as easily been set in Wyoming. So I personally haven't read that. It sounds a little bit similar to one other book that's not included here that I would highly recommend. My Ranch 2 is the title of that book, written by the mother of a local, Sarah Flitner's mom. Mary wrote the book My Ranch 2 about growing up at the Diamondtail Ranch south of here and generations before her having come out west and started that ranch, and then her life being married to a rancher in Shell, Wyoming. It's a beautiful sliver of, I think, a time in Wyoming that may be coming to an end. So yeah. I recommend that one. Of course, Michelle Obama. I mean, what more do you need to say?
Yeah.
Who's not going to read that book? There are probably a lot of people who will.
All right. So on the flip side, we've got some books for young readers.
Yes.
And the first category is Let's Read Together.
Right. Which includes Look, which just, I mean, the book itself, it looks amazing. So that's a perfectly appropriate title. And the fun element there is that author Fiona Woodcock uses all this visual wordplay throughout the book by using words, only words with double O's. So like zoo, shampoo, look is another one. So there's quite a bit of whimsy there. And prior to that on the list, actually, is a book called They Say Blue by Jillian Tamaki.
Did
you read this one?
I read this one today.
What do you think?
I loved it. It's beautifully illustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. The cover, if you don't feel swept away by the cover, I don't know what else would get you. But yeah, follows a little girl through her day and the colors that she encounters. Yeah. Yeah.
And then for independent readers, so this is kind of middle grade fiction.
Right. Why don't you start off? I know you have a favorite in this list.
I do Louisiana's Way Home by Kate D. Camillo. Louisiana is a character from her previous book, Ramey Nightingale. She was a character in that story, and now she gets her own book and gets to tell her story. And then I just read that Kate is working on another novel about a third character in Ramey Nightingale.
Oh, nice.
So there will be these three. They're not a series, but they're these three kind of different stories, all that sprung out of the book Ramey Nightingale.
And how great.
I think she's the best writer for young people in the country today.
And you've had the pleasure of hearing her present.
Yeah, I've done three different readings with her.
So fun.
She is terrific with kids.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
I loved her Flora and Ulysses was the one I read most recently of hers, but also she did Despero.
Yeah. Both of those won the Newbery. Mm-hmm. She's a two-time winner of the Newbery.
Yeah. So if you're looking to introduce someone in this age group to a new author, you can't do much better, I would agree. Just the loveliest of writers, and then setting a kiddo up for, you know, one book after another,
I think
special.
The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane is the one that hits me the strongest.
Yeah, people love that one.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's an author, not just a book, but a whole author. Yeah. You get a lot of bang for your buck. And on this list, of course, you can't not mention Carl Hiaasen. Some of our listeners may be familiar more with his adult books, but he has no shortage of books for kids. And I think you can probably speak to this one, too. You know, if you have only read his adult books, you have to be able to imagine him writing for kids, which he does brilliantly, being funny and subversive. And this one, I'm told, I have not read, is partly set in the Mountain West. So looking forward to reading that
one. This one is Squirm. He's also written Hoot and Chomp.
Yes, exactly.
But Squirm is his latest.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for young adult readers, what do we have?
So I've got a couple there. Did you want to talk about Otherwood before we move
on? Well, I just started reading Otherwood. Okay. Pete Houtman. He's always one of my favorite writers. So this one's been really well received, great reviews. So yeah, I can definitely recommend Pete Houtman. He's another writer kind of like Carl Hiaasen, very funny.
Mm.
But he gets a little more serious in some of his books. Yeah.
Okay. And you're not sure yet with this one?
I just started it last night.
Okay. Moving on to the young adult readers, we have a plug from one of our former library colleagues, actually, who told me that Grim Lovelies is one of those which might appeal to adults as well as teens, because it's a sort of dark fairy tale. It's set in Paris, and it's kind of one of those guilty pleasure fantasy YA fiction books. So jumping to the end of the line there. Readers probably are familiar with the author Marcus Zusak from The Book Thief and his book Bridge of Clay, which I have not started yet, but comes highly acclaimed from a number of critics. And I can also say that the first in the list, I don't know Becky Albertalli, but Adam Silvera actually is an author who spoke in Jackson a couple years ago. The library brought and went to, I believe, the middle school. He may have been at Summit as well. And has a terrific reputation for tackling challenging subjects and making them accessible to kids and providing a place where maybe kids who feel a little less than mainstream can find a home and see themselves represented in literature, which is always nice. So
there you go. So there's a pretty good, that's a sample of what's available in this list. And I'm sure a lot of these books will be available at Valley Bookstore or the Jackson Hole Book Trader.
Exactly. We're encouraging people to shop local and get out there and support your local booksellers. It's so nice to actually be able to hold a book before you give it to someone.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah. Thank you for giving us a rundown of the list today, Pauline.
Happy
Appreciate
to
it.
Do it. I can't wait to read through the ones that are on my list. So happy holidays to everybody and happy reading.
Happy reading.
Yay.
All right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
Library.